We are still going through these aspects of the New Testament that emerged post Pentecost. The supernatural nature of the kingdom of Jesus Christ that was so distinctive from the Old Testament religion, that was so different. And well, we have seen how the outpouring of the Holy Spirit enabled the disciples to speak of the name of Jesus, the name that is above all other names. And his death and his resurrection are the only work of God, the only work of God for the salvation of the sinners. And as Jesus taught his disciples and he told them to wait until you receive the power from on high, and there you can be my witnesses. There you can show that this kingdom has only supernatural nature, has supernatural dimensions, has a spiritual dimension. So it's not like a political kingdom, and this also is not confined to people of Israel. It's going to touch other nations. It's going to go to the world. Even though we'll begin from Jerusalem, Judea and the surrounding areas, and Samaria, and then it will go to the end of the earth, and certainly came to Australia, the end of the earth, and the gospel will ever go. Well, this gospel also is opposed. We have seen that, and so what one of the things we are going to deal with today is the ways the devil tried to destroy this church. He tried to silence the disciple in chapter 4. We have seen that already. How they were told to be silent. They were told to stop, these things from spreading. So the religious leaders of their times, they were trying to silence the disciples, and so they said, "We must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name, because the kingdom was advancing. People were turning away from worthless religions, and they were committing themselves to Jesus Christ." And so they were told, they were called to stop, and they were commanded to speak no longer to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God." So they were made bold and strong not to fear these people, and also they were clear in their minds, in their faith, not to disobey their Lord. And they were prepared to disobey. The authorities were trying to shut them up and not to speak, for we cannot help speak about what we have seen and heard, what has touched our lives, what has brought us the real meaning of who we are as human beings, and also the God of Israel who has promised our forefathers, as we will hear in chapter 7 later when Stephen will pick it up and will proclaim this wonderful truth. So we have seen this. We have seen how the enemy was trying to silence the church. And also we have seen this also in chapter 5 when Ananias and Sapphira were trying to continue with the old lifestyle, to lie to the Holy Spirit. They didn't know that things have changed. They didn't know that God has come down by his Holy Spirit powerfully and gave authority to the disciples. And he has made for himself a people who are supposed to be holy, people to be true to God and to be true to themselves and to be true to the people around them because of the work of this wonderful work of Christ on the cross of Calvary and his truthful promise. When God promised, he fulfills his promises, and the promises are God, are powerful, are true. They can destroy a country like this. If God said he's going to destroy Australia, he will destroy it like he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. God is powerful. He's powerful. He can do anything. So these couples, they try to lie to the Holy Spirit, and yet they couldn't prevail. They couldn't prevail. They were confronted by these disciples, men of God who were witnesses, who were endowed power and wisdom and grace to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Well, the enemy is relentless. In chapter 5, in chapter 6, we see, and this is the subject of our message today, we have seen these people. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distributions of food. So what the enemy is trying to do here is trying to make a church a place where the truth is not exercised, to bring divisions, because people are complaining here. You see, to complain is the opposite of what? Being unthankful, isn't it? And God is not stingy. He's God who wants to bless his own people. So the enemy would want to have, to allow these things to take place in the midst of God's people and the new emerging God's community. This is fresh, the Holy Spirit that just brought down Sapphira and Ananias. So this is the same Spirit that will bring down anything that is not true. So here, there was a complaint, because what is the issue here? What is the issue here? Because they were complaining. Grecian Jews or Hellenistic Jews or Greek-speaking Jews, here they were people who came from diaspora. They were Greek, they were Jews, but they were speaking Greek in their culture. You see a lot of people living in different countries from different backgrounds. So these people they came back to Jerusalem to live in Jerusalem. So they have a lot of widows who are part of the ministry here, are part of this church. Widows, actually the word for widows, they said is a deserted city. So that is the word, that is the meaning of word, the word. Who has no help. So someone has no livelihood, someone who has no one to look after. So this is the widow. These are the widows in Jerusalem. And also, it's not a practice that was only confined to the church. It was just in the Judaism also, because they were commanded from the very beginning. We have read in the Old Testament how the people of God have to take care of the widows on daily basis. And so this is the same thing, because it's God's commands that the weak people among God's people will be looked after. And that is why the disciples, they take this seriously. So the Hebraic Jews, they were the people in charge. And so they were being racist here and tribalist, because word racism is just like a word that is used only in English speaking worlds, but it has many forms even in Africa. So you have this word tribalism. You see, it is there, and it's only God's people, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, can really confront this. Those who are filled with the knowledge of God can confront this and can be free of racism and tribalism. You see, we experience it a lot. I give you one example. I shared with you how this young man in South Sudan, in Northern Sudan, is Shuluk, from Shuluk, and he is serving among Nuer people. And the Nuer people are being discriminating against him. And so this young man, he said, God has brought me here. I'm part of you. I can't go anywhere, even though I have other people. I have my own communities. And also there is another Nuer who was his mentor. He's standing tall, standing against these people, saying, look, there is no tribalism here. We are God's people. We are called to be together. And so I gave him credit for that. And it's only when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be filled with courage and to obey Christ and not to go by what your tribe is telling you or your race or ethnicity. This is the kingdom of God that is to expand, as we heard a few weeks ago. That is universal in its character. It will have every tribe, even people you may not think of. Even our basic scholars are saying today that if you want to meet a true Christian, you may not meet it in the centers of reformations, which were once the centers of reformation. So he said, his name was Philip Jenkins. He said, if you want to meet a true Christian, you may meet her in a village in Nigeria. How about that? How about that? It's so challenging to us. And that is why God allows us today to have this message to be brought to us, so that we know that we are a people who are called to be bold, to follow God. And so the disciples, they had a problem here. So there is a discrimination here. There is division in the congregation. So they said, this is not right. So we are not meant to entertain this. So because people were coming to church. And so what they say, that, and the distribution was daily, on daily basis. These people have nothing. I have more to say today. It's an opportunity for those who are deacons to hear this carefully. And it's an opportunity for pastors to hear this carefully. And it is also an opportunity for the congregation to hear this carefully. So there is an issue here. There is racism, there is tribalism here, and there is also a distractions to the disciples. Because there is a problem here. So the disciples, they say, well, this problem is a distraction because we have a task. We want to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and these things is going to cause problems. So now I say to you, Hellenistic Jews, there were Jews is speaking English, Jews is speaking Hellenistics, Greek, Jews who speak Greeks, and so in Hebraics, the Jews who are local, local Jews who speak only Hebrews. And so other commentators said, sometimes people, they can be nationalists. We are the citizens of this country. And those who have come from outside, so they are second-class citizens. So some commentators may say, like, the reason the Hebraic Jews were trying to discriminate against these people, they see them as outsiders. They have no political powers. They have no political privileges. So we can really overlook them. But the disciples say, no, this is not the right way. So this is the problem. I gave you the background, how the raising up of deacons has arise. So there's an opportunity. And from that day, we come to have the ministry of deacons. And actually, they are not called deacons. Here, there are seven. Because actually, the word deacons or diaconia is the word that is used for every ministry in the church. Diaconia is even the ministry of the word, the ministry of hospitality. You see, all our ministries, youth ministry, young adults ministry, they are all diaconia. So here now the disciple says, well, we don't want to go on with this distraction. The 12 gather, all the disciples together and say it. So now they come up with solutions, They say, so the disciples gathered all the disciples together. So the apostles, so the 12, they are called the apostles, the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. But the 12 apostles. But the disciples, we call them disciples sometimes, 12 disciples, and also we call them apostles. And they are called also the 12. So these names are okay. But also The followers of Christ are called disciples at that time, because what happens here, they call all the disciples. They gather all the disciples, those who have embraced the word of Christ, those who have been made Christian, those who gave their life to Christ. So they are all disciples, all of them. So they met together to find a solution for this. And now the 12, they say, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on the tables. It won't be right. And that will not help us further the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Many years ago, a dear friend and a dear brother asked me here in our church here. He said to me, what is the job description for a pastor? Simple, I said, to pray and study the word of God. Simple like that. Can you hire someone really to do just only that ministry? Can you? Well, Jesus, in the job description he gave to his disciples, he gave them that simple job to do. And I think that is why our churches today, they just want to fill the list of the job description for a pastor so that he looks good. He looks like he got a lot of work to do, responsibility, so that he's not hired just only to pray and study the word. That is also erring. And no wonder why our churches are so weak and why our witness is not so strong. Because we are departing from the teaching of the word of God. Well, the people around there, they didn't think the ministry of the word and the prayer was just nothing. They didn't think that way. The disciples themselves, they said, we can neglect this. Because if we neglect this ministry, there is no church. There is no church at all. And if people think that, why prayer, minister of prayer, and the word is so important? Let me pause to say a few things about this. It is not an easy work. The life of the church depends on this. Depends on the word of God and prayer. Just simple like that. You may not have money to pay your pastors. You may not have a building to meet and which you can meet. But if you have the word of God and the prayers, you have the best church of God here on earth. A church that can stand and testify truly to the glory of God and to the dignity of Jesus Christ. Because that is what changes people. That is what changes people. In the first place, why disciples needed to pray and study the word is first of all for themselves. To keep themselves in the love of God. To keep themselves in the love of Christ. Themselves so that they are transformed to be holy. When problems arise, they will be able to be true to God. And they will solve the problem with no further division, with no doubt in the minds of the people they deal with. Because there are people who are growing. Apostle Paul himself, he said this. He once he knew Christ, but he said, I want to know him more. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. We want to know him. We cannot know him enough. We need to know him day after day. That is what the disciples were saying. We need to give ourselves to this. We need to give ourselves to God so that we are sanctified. We are changed. We are made bold in the face of the opposition. We need the equipment of God. As we study the word, as we know it, as we are transformed by it, we will be able to hear God. We will be the right instruments to encourage God's people, to lead them. And the praise of these disciples, it was not because they were special in any way. Even when people saw them, they were so bold. They realized that they had been with Jesus and in schools. They didn't go to Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. They didn't go to PTC. They didn't go anywhere. But they studied the scriptures. Of the view that they were not illiterate people. They were literate in their languages. They were living among a civilized society. They were reading and studying. You can be a good reader and be a fisherman. A guy was about to win the Nobel Prize. He was year six dropped out in Egypt. Mahmoud Abbas al-Aqad. So they were not illiterate people, but they were people who have known the word. They studied the word. They were people who praise. And secondly, these people, as they were studying the word of God for themselves also, when they pray, they know Christ. They were transformed as they pray. Because when you pray, you come into the presence of God. You pour out your heart. You bring yourself before him. You confess all your sins. You bring him your greatest desires to bear witness to his name. That is what the disciples were doing. They were saying, risen Lord, endow us with power. That was what they praised when they were intimidated, when they were persecuted, when they were put to jail, and when they were released. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, and you know what? God heard them and the place was shaking. Why? Because these prayers touched God. So this is not a simple prayer. That is what built the church. And so when pastors really give up this ministry, so the church will be weak and also Christ will not be feared. Because even these people, when they pray for the sick people, they are healed. Because God has called them. And he said, this is what you are going to be. When you pray for someone, I will be with you. I will answer your prayers. It's not just it's not an easy task to do. It's to fight. Also, there is these elements of the forces of darkness that would want to attack a congregation like this. The disciples were praying and God gave them wisdom. Where did they come up with this wisdom to raise up seven? We were going to be, the majority were going to be the very people who were complaining. Hellenists, Jews. From their names, they were given Greek, they got Greek, Greek names. So the minister of prayers also to stand, get to discern the evil forces that would want to come and destroy the work of God. In prayer, the minister of the word and prayer will see these things. These are dangerous. These things have nothing to do with the Church of Jesus Christ. And the pastors and teachers of the word who discerns and prays very well, they know a lot of things. They will know if there is things that are running through a congregation, they will know by spirit. And then they stand and pray against these things. And then even they call and they say it is not right for these things to be there. And so we are to seek the wisdom from our God and to help us so that this ministry, this work of God, this witness will never be stopped. It is very important that our witness in a community like this continues, because we can't help not to speak of what we have seen and experienced, that Christ is the Lord of the whole universe and that he is calling people to repentance. He's calling people to him. Even if we see people are not in faith and not believing in Christ, it's not normal. And maybe we settle on this reality. That is not what we should settle on. Well, the disciples, they said, it will not be right. It would not be right. And if it is not right, so we shouldn't have something that is not right in our fellowship and to neglect. So this is what is not to be right, is the negligent, to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on the tables. Not because the other ministry is not important, but that was not their job description. That was not their calling. These things are, as you heard me, it's not because the ministry of the word and the prayer is superior. But you have heard me earlier saying it's necessary, it's very important, so that other ministries also can flourish, because they are all called diaconia. Even the minister of the word, we are called deacons. We are servants. And a servant is not better than the others. We have all one master. We are all servants. We are all servants. And to your surprise, even the raising up of the seven is not a work of a pastor. Is the witness of the Holy Spirit in the disciples, in the people like yourself. So the servants or the deacons are raised up by the congregation, are not raised up by the pastor themselves. That is what the word of God says here. Brothers, they say that. They call them brothers. So they don't say, you come here. You see? I remember something that really registered with my mind. To this day, there was a professor of theology who came from America many years ago, Guy's Winters. He was a very calm guy. He was a quiet guy. And so I was sitting at the front. It was like intensive lectures at PTC. And so he was standing about to speak like this. I think I was sitting there near a door. And the principal came, and then maybe he wanted me to just give him a share, so that he can keep the door open. And so he said, and then I picked it. And this professor, I could see his reaction. He raised up eyebrows. Yeah, he thought that was maybe over the top a little bit. Looked down, overlooked or something like that. So this is not what the pastors did here. I mean the 12, the disciples. They said, brothers. What a word to call a fellow believer with this. Brother. we are equals. You see, you are my brother. If you are brothers, like I know my dear friends here, they do have three brothers and three boys. They call each other brothers. How about that? It's just disarming, isn't it? Destroys divisions, destroys superiority. One superior than the others. They call them, they say, brothers, brothers. Choose yourself, not us. Choose 7 men from among you who are known, this is their qualification, who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. The deacons, the 7 people, are known not only by the ministers of the word and prayer, but they are known to their brothers that these people are filled with the Holy Spirit. These people, they are full of wisdom. And these people with the Spirit and the wisdom of God they have, they will be able to overcome the problem that was there. There will be no further complaint, and the church will be rid of anything that will jeopardize their testimony and their witness in the communities in which they live. The worst thing is like when people outside the church, they see that there are issues in the church that shouldn't be there because people are proud. When the Lord himself, he was not proud, he humbled himself, he came down. When he served himself, though he was the master, but he was serving. So he didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life on the cross of Calvary, so that you and I might be given the Spirit and the wisdom to know God and to walk before him and to have and to be like Jesus. So these people, they are not just known only to 3 people, or the witness of the Holy Spirit may be just upon 3 groups. And 3 people, they can determine everything that is going to happen in a gathering of disciples who are filled with the Holy Spirit. All of you who have come to Christ have the Holy Spirit lives in you. And you can be trusted to pray and to go about doing God's work and God's will. And that is, and no one is to step over these boundaries, because these are boundaries that God himself has made himself. As it was not right, it would not be right for the ministers of the word to neglect and the prayer to neglect this. It will not also be right for the ministers of the tables to neglect this, or to have other people interfere with this. Because these people, the Bible says, they are full of the Spirit and wisdom, otherwise they wouldn't have been raised. And otherwise we shouldn't have deacons if this is not a reality in our congregations. These mean people to be known, to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, because they will stand in the face of pressure for them to be partial. These people, why they had to be have a Spirit? Because they will be like the disciples themselves, because we are all brothers. We have the same Spirit and we have the same Bible we read from. So they are strong in their calling, and they will distribute all this daily distribution food without overlooking anyone, because of their race, of their culture, or their language. As long as the Lord brought them into their midst, they have the obligation as God's people and to care for them. That is why it was so imperative that they were to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, because if you are full with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, you will be bold to do God's will. Even if the pressure is just hot as the furnace into which the 3 young men were thrown into, you will be able to stand, because God will give you the strength and the wisdom and the Spirit that is in you to take God's side and not man's side. And that is the issue. If Christians are not to study the word and pray, where will they get the wisdom and the Spirit? Where will you get this to do what is right? We will all be falling flat with our faces and deny Jesus Christ our Lord, who left his father and came and associated himself with people who were not even Jews. Even he himself was a Jew. You see? So we are called to follow him. I'm a follower of Jesus, isn't it? That is why I can't say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. I can't say it. I may say the first part. Well, what does that mean? No God but only God. And then I can't say that Muhammad is Rasulullah, because I don't believe that. We say it to them, not like that. They say, this is harder. But the first part, there is no other God. You see, we do that. How can you do that? If this is not real for you, we will turn this responsibility, and also there is a turning of this responsibility to them completely. It is their responsibility. So because this takes time, so you devote your time as a pastor to the prayer and the study of the word. These people, this will be handed over fully to the deacons to do this ministry themselves, and to trust the spirit and the wisdom that is in them. And you as a congregation, you have the power. You were the people who raised them up. And after all, the money they are managing, they are not their own money. They are not going to do what they like themselves. You know that. The reason we do this, otherwise, we can all do these good services ourselves, because our hearts are burning to do what is good for Christ. I know this. I know this. God's people have these gifts of generosity, being generous. And that is why you give money to the deacons, so that they manage them to distribute them equally to the people who have needs in our midst. They are not their monies. They are just managers, full of spirit and wisdom. They will do this so that there will be no division in the church and there will be no distractions for those who are praying and study the word. So the responsibility is going to be theirs completely, and no one to interfere with this. No one, even the session, cannot interfere with this. Or the session now maybe is like the 12, isn't it? Because they handed over this, isn't it? The session represents the 12, maybe. Because they are raised, chosen by the congregation and appointed by the 12. They are the leaders. They are appointed this. So we raise up the board of management and the session appoint them. Because there is a witness is there. Because here the Bible says this pleased, the proposals pleased the whole group. Pleased the whole group, the proposal. That is a unity, isn't it? Unity. They were all, they agreed. You need to agree on the things that are taking place in our midst, lest we will have divisions. So these people, let me go quickly. These people were given this proposal. Please, these people. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith. And you know there is a thread. There's our interlocutors, like the things that knit together the narrative, the word of God. And so this part is linking. So Stephen is mentioned to be full of faith. And in chapter 7, we will see Stephen will rise to the opportunity, to the occasion, will prove to us that he is truly a man full of faith and his spirit. And he was a deacon himself, which shows that it's not a less ministry. They are also called to be scholars, to study the word, to be teachers also. So these are their names. Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip. Philip will be carried by the Holy Spirit and witness. He was an evangelist. So they have multiple gifts, these people. So being a deacon, that doesn't mean that you don't have other gifts. Also, you can be even a teacher of the word of God. So Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas and Nicholas from Antioch. You see, a convert to Judaism, and he became a believer. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So that is very important. So when they were raised, men full of faith and his wisdom, the disciple laid their hands on them. And the laying of hands is a symbol that as we lay our hands, God will bring blessings. And in the Old Testament, you have seen this. This is a practice. Even when Moses was dying, he laid his hand on Joshua, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. This is a practice, saying, symbolizing that God here is at work, and he is going to bring blessings upon the person who is being raised up. My last point. And it's very important to hear this. What is the result? Having diagnosed the problems and also brought the solutions, what is the result? having departed from racism and division and distractions, and sought God in this, and was pleasing to the eyes of all the brethren who were there, and they raised these disciples, these seven people, we call deacons, servants. So now, what is the result? The word of God is spread. The word of God is spread. The word of God is spread rapidly. There was no hindrance to the word of God, because God is pleased as his people are full of obedience and grace and wisdom and the Holy Spirit. So the enemy cannot stand in the front of the word or on the way. The word of God is spread. The word of God is spread. The testimony of the disciples was going further. With the result that the number of disciples in the Jerusalem increased rapidly. And these two words, spread and increase, are very important words. They are in the imperfect in the Greek, because the imperfect is an incompleted word, actions. So the spread of the word was just running like a wildfire, because the disciples, they didn't neglect the prayer of prayer and the word. And also they handed over the ministry of the tables. There was no murmuring in the congregation. Everything was brought under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and everyone is rising up to their task. And so the result is the word of God to spread. People were speaking the word and people were believing. And this is what characterizes the revivals. Whenever there's revival, what happens in revivals? The word of God cut through, confronted people and tell them that you are a sinner and you need to repent. If you don't repent, you will die. And living in sexual immorality is against God. Repent of your sins. Being racist is sin. Repent. Being tribalist, repent. All these things. The word of God will achieve all these things. Lying and to people and looking down on people. You see, these things are not practices in the emerging community of faith. The new covenant. The kingdom that Jesus was bringing is a radical discipleship. Radical discipleship. And so the word is spread. Because all these things in the right place, the word increased, the number of people, disciple increased rapidly. In our days today, if we have one convert once a year, we celebrate this. What does that say? That says the word is hindered. It's not active. Maybe we neglect the prayer of prayer and pass and prayer of the inside of the word. Pray for us that we repent ourselves and we go about this very business so that the word of God is not hindered. And also you have the courage to raise up those whom you will truly know that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and that will not be a disaster to a congregation. They will be bold, they will be wise, and they will be able to distribute these things even to the very people that they have never met, but they have come into our midst. This is what the new covenant does for us. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. This is what Christ wants of his followers. Because after all of us, maybe tomorrow, if we are driven in this city, in this country, we go into other countries and we go about the same business. Anyway, that was what happened. Driven from Sudan, I was not a preacher there, and then in Egypt, then here, now I don't know where next. You see, so, but wherever I go, I know this is what I've been called to do. And so, and you too, that is our business. And as they did all these things, the word of God, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests became, even the strongholds, even the priests who were opposing Christ. Now, because of the powerful witness of the Holy Spirit, the powerful witness of these believers, even the priests who were stubborn and were disobeying Christ and were persecuting him, now they came in a large numbers, not just few people, many people. They came, became obedient to the faith. How about that? That is the background to the diaconal ministry. And these things, as the disciple put it right, so they were able to see fruits. If we want to see fruits in our ministries, we need to make sure that every complaint we have in our hearts, we need to bring it before God and just to get rid of it. Because God is able to give us wisdom to solve whatever the problems that may be there. We are not to live with problems, especially that have the potential to wreck a witness and to make our fellowship not winsome. That is the word of God. That is the work of the word of God for us. And this chapter is for us. Not to destroy us, it's to call us to put our acts in line and to be truly God's people. And if we are interfering with deacons, we are to stop that. The deacons have to be trusted of their ministry, because there are people who are full of faith and wisdom, and God gave them this, and they are capable of this, so that we don't have any reasons to interfere and to have not to be praying. And we have a lot of things to pray for, even your blessings. Sometimes we know that this brother, this sister need this or they struggle with this. We cry with them. We pray, God, you have called me. That was what Moses was doing. This is what all the prophets were doing. This is what all the leaders of God were doing. They were leading people. They were not looking to their own thing. It's not just like entertainment. It's not just like a business that is easy. Arrows of Satan also attacks us. And every day under the scrutiny of Satan and the demonic force of darkness, because God has raised us up to be through his people. And also, you don't know the scrutiny under which all the pastors go through. Do you want to hear them really? They are not nice things. Just to convince other people that I've been called by God. If it's not really God, you can be just even deported. Do you want really to know what pastors go through when they go through training? Especially if you have come from another country. How about if you stand like this in front of a presbytery with your blue jacket or something like that, and someone shouting from there saying, oh, we can't see you in your blue jacket. And I say, okay, let us pray. And I went about preaching the sermon that I was asked to preach. Do you think it's something nice to do that? If it was not God, no one will want to do it. May the Lord give us grace to be truly bold in our hearts and humble and withdrawing, you see, not wanting to be anything, so that the word of God may spread, so that our prayers might be answers for our people, so that they know Christ and his blessing. This ministry of the seven is very important in the church. And I pray from today that we may help our deacons and pray for them that they do this ministry wonderful. They are doing a great job. But let us pray for them. Let us pray also. Pray for your ministers, that we don't neglect the prayer of the minister of the prayer and the study of the word of God. Because in the study of the word, you have revelations from God, things you see fresh that are beneficial to your own people. Let us pray.